The nativity scene is one that you and I are very familiar with, the holy Christ child lying in a manger, in a feeding trough, because there was no room for him who entered into the world to save fallen man. Now, we've heard the nativity story, but I'd like to bring our attention this evening to Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, where Paul wrote that God the Son, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. My dear brothers and sisters, the incarnation of Christ is the great mystery of our faith. Theologians call it the hypostatic union. And in order to answer the question, how could it be that Christ be truly God and truly man? For us, the birth of a child stirs up a variety of different emotions. Hope for the future, joy at the gift of new life, and even a sense of wonder at the miracle of it all, right? A newborn baby to us represents possibility, a fresh beginning, and a reminder that life continues. For parents, there's often this mix of excitement and responsibility, I would imagine. They wonder about the path that this little one will take. The joys, the challenges, all of it. But in the case of the Christ child, his birth didn't just stir the emotions of Mary and Joseph. It stirred the very heavens. Angels proclaimed his arrival. Shepherds left their flocks to worship. Wise men began the journey, guided by a star. His birth didn't just bring hope to his family. It brought hope to the entire world. It brought hope to you and I who are here today. But unlike most births where we wonder about the future of the child, the future of this baby was already written. He was born to save us, to bridge the gap between a holy God and sinful, broken humanity. That manger held not just any baby, right? The Savior of the world was laid to rest in this filthy feeding trough. From glory, he stepped into squalor. Christ's birth into such humble circumstances shows us the kind of king that he is. He is not a king who came to be served, though he is certainly due service. But he came as one who serves and gives his life as a ransom for many, a ransom for you and I. He was born into the filth of this world to show that no one, no matter how broken, no matter how sinful, is out of his reach. Probably the reason the Little Drummer Boy is my favorite Christmas carol. There's a couple of lines in it that just hit me like a freight train every single time I hear it. Particularly, I have no gift to bring that's fit to give a king. I don't know about you, but that hits home with me every single time. You know that, and I know that the wise men brought gifts to the Christ child. But realistically, there is nothing fitting to give our benevolent king. If anyone is due honor, worship, beauty, wealth, it is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the eternal Son of God, God the Son, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, and the God of gods. He is the one who spoke the entire universe into existence. Planets, galaxies, nebulas, everything that we see, he spoke it into existence. Every star that shines, every mountain that towers over us, every ocean that roars does so to declare his glory, his majesty, and his power. all creation testifies to the glory of God. Indeed, he is the radiance of God's glory and the exact imprint of his nature. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. Every crown ever worn, every throne ever sat on, every treasure ever desired by man, he is infinitely worthy of more than any of these things. I mean, even the angels in heaven worship him. They cry out endlessly before his throne, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." That's Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3. And yet, the same God, God the Son, who deserves the highest honor, the deepest worship, the richest treasure, chose to come to earth in the humblest of ways. Instead of being surrounded by beauty, he was born into the squalor of a stable. Instead of a throne, he was laid in a manger. Instead of wealth, he came into poverty. Instead of bringing himself into adoration, he entered into rejection. How wild is it that he who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, as Psalm 50 verse 10 says, would choose to be born into a family that could not even secure a proper room for his birth? The one whose glory fills the heavens would veil that glory in human flesh. That he, who is the rightful recipient of all worship, would humble himself to be the servant of all. This, my dear brothers and sisters, is the wonder of the incarnation of Christ. Christ did not cling to his rightful place. As Paul writes in Philippians, right? He emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness. He chose humility, not because he lacked honor or worship or beauty, but because he came to give all of himself to redeem us. This precious little newborn, laying in a feeding trough, would have rejection, pain, and crucifixion waiting for him. A faith that he willingly went for you and I. And so I ask you today, what could we possibly give the one who is infinitely worthy? Even if we devoted every moment, every second of our very lives to him, even if we poured out every ounce of strength into his service, it still does not come close to being enough. He is the creator. He is the sustainer of all things. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Every good thing we have, our time, talents, our treasures, our wealth, our families, it all comes from his hand. How can we offer something he doesn't already own? As the psalmist says in 116, verse 12, "What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me?" My dear brothers and sisters, even our best efforts are tainted by sin. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 reminds us, "All our righteous acts are like filthy rags." Even the purest, holiest life lived by a sinful human cannot measure up to the holiness and the majesty of God. And because of this, we, my friends, cannot earn his favor. We cannot repay his grace. We can never be worthy in and of ourselves to approach God. And that's the good news of the gospel. God does not require us to be enough. He does not ask us to earn his love or bring him something worthy. Instead, he sent his Son, the one who is worthy. And so Christ lived the perfect life. He was just as innocent in his adulthood as he was when he laid in a feeding trough. He lived the perfect life that he might offer the perfect sacrifice that you and I could never give. Christ's birth, life, death, and resurrection are the ultimate display of the grace of God. So the wonder of Christmas is not that we can give something to Christ, but rather that Christ gave everything for you and I. He stepped down into our brokenness. He took on our humanity. He laid down his life so that you and I can be reconciled to a holy God. And all we have to do is accept this gift. The good news is that Christ does not demand perfection from us. He takes what little we have and transforms it by his grace. I mentioned the little drummer boy. What's a more biblical example? Well, probably would be the boy who offered his loaves and fish to Christ, right? We bring our small, imperfect offering, and Christ multiplies it for his glory. It's very easy to get caught up in our insufficiencies. Instead of doing that, let us marvel at the sufficiency of Jesus Christ, who takes our unworthy lives and makes them beautiful in his hands, makes them holy, sanctifies us, and sets us apart for God. The Messiah has come to save us, to restore our innocence. He brings us into relationship and fellowship with God. He didn't need to. He didn't have to. He did it out of his benevolent love for his creation, that we, fallen man, might be adopted into the family of God. And my dear brothers and sisters, this is the way that you and I, on this Christmas, are called to love. The way that you and I are called to love one another, the way you and I are called to embody Christ to the world, is through that love. And still, it's easy for us to fall into a place of superiority. Well, at least I'm not like them, right? Christ became them, whoever them might be. So often, we would prefer to be served than to serve others. And still, when the King of Glory entered time and space, he humbled himself. He slept not in a palace, but in a manger. So even our relationships are tainted by self-serving action, right? But Christ gave all of himself that we may be redeemed. Christ is, at his very nature, the antithesis of our sin nature. He purifies us. He makes us holy. He sanctifies us to be more like him. And why does he do this? Why does he redeem us? Simply for his good pleasure. For his good pleasure. There is no greater gift. He gave it to us simply because of who he is. Because our salvation makes him happy. How incredible is that? My dear brothers and sisters, Merry Christmas. Friends, the Lord proclaims to all the earth, your salvation has come. You are my holy people, the redeemed whom I have sought out, never to be forsaken. Amen.